Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday from 12:30 to 1 on the River 953, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to introduce you to a new podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every week, we'll be releasing a new podcast where we interview different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll even get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. We're going to talk to linemen, energy advisors, board members, even the CEO. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode as they're released on our website under the podcast tab at theriver953.com, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify, anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just search for We Are REC. We are in the studio today with William and Hillary Wilfong. William is a lineman for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative, so we're going to get him to tell us a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff. We're going to talk about kind of a typical day in the life and whether or not it changes depending on what the weather situation is outside. So I'm kind of excited to learn about these guys that climb up these electric poles and make the power come back on, because you got to be like the most popular person on the planet some days, I would guess, William.
Yeah, definitely when the power's out.
So thank you both for coming to hang out with me for a little bit. I'm going to start with asking you, William, to tell me a little bit about yourself. So I know Hillary is here with you. How long have the two of you been married?
10 years.
So were you a lineman when you got married, or was this something, a career choice you made after the two of you were already together?
After. I worked for Verizon for several years right out of high school, and then left there and started with Rappahannock Electric.
So were you climbing telephone poles before you were climbing power poles?
I was, yeah.
That's kind of cool. So you kind of knew what you were in for, that here was a guy who's clearly not afraid of heights.
Right.
Are you afraid of heights?
No.
See, well, that kind of makes it easier, because I would imagine it would be a lot more stressful for you if he were doing something you would be terrified to do yourself. That
right.
would make it more worrisome when he's out and about.
Definitely.
When you started working at Rappahannock Electric, did you kind of know what you were in for? I mean, did you have a sense of what your job was going to be? Did you start off as a lineman?
Yeah, I started off as an apprentice. I didn't really know everything about it. I figured I'd be climbing poles and doing, you know, hard work. But I had a lot to learn from day one.
How long have you been there?
7 years, almost.
So now you know it all.
No. Still learn every day.
Kind of walk me through a typical day. Let's start with a typical day where there's been a massive storm and we've had straight line winds and power is out in a particular area here in, for example, Warren County. Do you guys, like, are you on call? I mean, how does your scheduling work?
We come in. If we knew the storm was coming, they kind of prepare us and we go into major storm mode. So we work 16-hour days starting at 6 in the morning, and then they send a few guys home to sleep, and then we'll have a night shift so we can work 24/7, get everybody back on as fast as possible.
So when you say you kind of get prepped, I mean, are there different things that you have to, say, put on the truck, or things that you have to gather and get ready in anticipation of having to go out and make multiple repairs?
We pretty much have everything we need on the truck. We just get extras so we don't have to go back into the shop and spend time there gathering more material.
Now, are most of your calls locally to where you live? I mean, you're not living in one area and then having to drive 3 hours, 4 hours to work on something on a regular basis, on a daily basis.
We cover out of this shop Clark County, Warren County, Frederick County. So we can drive anywhere within those areas in a single day.
And I guess that kind of makes sense, because if you're going to be on call or have to go out and deal with some sort of an emergency, Rappahannock wants that fixed and taken care of as quickly as possible. They don't want you living 3 hours from wherever you've got to go to at least fix the issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And they like to see us live at least 30 minutes from the shop. So if we do get a call, we can be there pretty quickly, get in the truck and go.
Is it different when you're making a call to a storm, like I said, in the spring or in the summer versus a call in the winter? I mean, do you have to prepare differently? Do you need different tools or do you need different things?
Yeah, they all have differences. Like in the winter, they're normally a lot harder to get around because you got snow or ice on the roads. You got to chain the tires up. Walking's more difficult. Summer's not so bad, but then you got everything growing. All the trees are growing. Vines, thorns. So that makes walking in the right of ways a lot more difficult.
When nothing is happening and it's just a beautiful spring day and there aren't any massive storms and you don't have a lot of damage control to go out and do you guys just sit around the shop and play cards? I mean, what do you do on a day when nothing major is happening out in the world?
We're always improving the system. or installing new services, new lines, new poles. We have system inspectors go around. They check everybody's meter socket and everything for anything going on. And then we have this company called Osmos that we contract. They visit every single pole on our system to inspect them.
I have heard of that company. As a matter of fact, my stepson worked for them for a little bit of time, and that was what he did. And I still didn't understand what it was, but now it all kind of falls into place.
Yeah, they check everything from the ground up, make sure it's not rotten, it's going to break, and then they send the report to us. We go out, replace it, fix what needs to be fixed to hopefully minimize the amount of potential outages we could have.
What kinds of gear do you have? I mean, when you're having to go up onto a pole to fix a transformer or something like that, I mean, how much weight are you carrying with you when you're climbing up this pole?
The belt's pretty heavy. It's probably 15 pounds or so with all your tools in it. You'll have pliers and a knife and screwdriver. And then it's kind of bulky for comfort, really, because you're going to be up there for probably an hour at least.
When you go out to do just a standard repair, so to speak, or a replacement of something, do you kind of know, okay, I'm going to be up here for 4 hours? I mean, have you done it long enough now that you can kind of look at something from the ground and say, okay, this is going to take me X number of hours?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can get it down pretty good and know what we need and how long it's going to take us once we see what's going on.
Now, are you normally like 9 to 5? Do you have like a rotating shift hours? I mean, how does your schedule work?
We work 4 10s from 7 to 5:30, and then we have 4 different crews. We have 3 line crews and then a service department, and 2 of the line crews work Monday through Thursday, and then the other line crew and service department works Tuesday through Friday.
So what does the service department do that's different from what you do? Are they just not going up and physically working on a pole?
They do. They run most of the trouble calls during the day, and then also do maintenance on street lights, hook up new services.
So if I've got an issue where I'm putting a new meter box or something on my house, the service department would more than likely come out to connect that than calling you out to have a whole crew come out and do something along those lines.
Yeah, most of the time if you call in and say you're having an issue, the service guys are going to be the ones that show up first, unless somebody else is closer and you're out of power, because we want to get there as soon as we can.
Have you ever been out on a job site somewhere fixing something because the power is out and you've got like a horde of homeowners down below you screaming up, when are you turning my power back on?
Oh, yeah, that's number one question. When's it coming back on?
And it's got to be good, too, because I know Rappahannock Electric has the app that will notify you and tell you, get a text message if your power is out, and they usually tell you whether or not somebody is en route. Do you guys have to do all of that when you get on scene, kind of do a quick assessment and let them know you expect to have the power back on in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours?
Yeah, when dispatch gives us the call, we have to let them know when we get there and assess the scene and then call them back, give them an estimated time of restoration. And then they put that on the website for people to see, or send text messages because they have that option also.
I love the text messages because we were talking before we turned on the mics. You know, there have been times when my power has gone out and I'm not even home and it's on before I get back home. And I love just knowing that I don't even have to be there and it's already been taken care of. And I have a heads up in case something's going on and I might need to run home and move something out of the freezer or out of the fridge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Helps a lot of people.
So, Hillary, since he was with Verizon and then moved over to Rappahannock Electric, and say it's the middle of the winter and there's 6 feet of snow on the ground and he's on call and he's got to go out, does it stress you out that he's out on the roads, first of all, and then also up in the air working on these things?
Yeah, that stresses me out a little bit because, you know, if our road's icy, I know he has to get to other places that are pretty icy and can be scary. Lucky for me, he's pretty cautious and pretty intuitive about the roads and stuff, so I don't have to worry that aspect too much. What I stress out about is then I'm home in the storm by myself, and then he's like, oh, well, you need to shovel this, you need to do this, make sure the generator comes on. Plus, you know, we have our kid at home, and if we don't have power, then I'm stuck there having to hold down the fort while he's out working. So that's more what I stress out about.
So have you had a situation where he's out on the road fixing a power outage for somebody else, but you're actually at home without power yourself?
Many times.
Really?
I always tell him that our house should be the first priority, and he tells me that's not how it works. But
that's true. I mean, can't you, like, I mean, obviously you're at home and you get this call that you've got to go out. You're probably going to drive right past wherever the power outage is causing at your house. You can't just stop real quick and fix it for your wife before you go?
We try to take priority of.
The official answer is no, but the husband answer is, honey, I would love to, but I'm not allowed.
I mean, sometimes they'll let me they'll let me drive by and check it out if it's something I can fix.
And what's normally the cause of a power outage in a storm? Is it trees falling over the lines? Is it, you know, the straight line winds knocking poles over? I mean, what do you run into most often?
Number one cause of all outages is trees. And then number two is kind of wildlife, squirrels.
I know a couple of years ago, there's an event that happens in Winchester at the Sportsplex, and it's called Worlds of Work, and it's WOW. It's the WOW Expo. And they spend 2 days with all of the seventh graders from all of the schools in the surrounding six counties. And they bring these seventh graders in to this arena, and they get to walk around and see all of the jobs that are potentially available to them so they can start thinking about what their career path always is. Rappahannock Electric always has one of the big boom trucks, I guess they're called, out in the parking lot. And they used to, I don't know if they did this last year or not, but they used to do this demonstration with a squirrel. And I always thought that was just something because it would make the kids think it's cool. But it really is an actual issue.
Oh, absolutely. They get up there and stand it on something that's grounded and then grab a hold of the line because they climb and they chew on the wires and stuff. So it knocks the line out.
And there's not a lot anybody can do prevention-wise for that, right? I mean, you can't, well, my husband would say, yeah, you could shoot them, but that's probably not the most legal way to deal with them.
We go up with wildlife protectors. We're starting to put those everywhere. And definitely on all the new transformers, we put them on before we hang them. But we're going back to the older areas where transformers have been there from 40s, 50s, 60s.
Oh,
that
wow.
That wasn't a concern back then. But now with all the blinking lights and everything.
It's like a magnet and it just draws them in and attracts them in.
So they're always up there. So we're putting protection up there to help prevent that.
Well, and I know from years ago, and Casey and I talked about this on an earlier podcast, I have lived in this area, in the Winchester-Frederick County area my whole life, and I remember when it was Potomac Edison, and then it went to Allegheny Power, and then it became Rappahannock Electric. So you guys probably inherited a lot of older equipment and older transformers. You're talking about some of these that are old. So do you have to kind of systematically go through, knowing that you've got an area that has a lot of these old ones, and that's on the schedule this week to go out and look at and potentially repair or replace?
Yeah, we'll do circuit by circuit. We'll get one circuit done and then move on to the next one. And then if there's any issues that come up anywhere else, we go out and take care of that stuff.
Do transformers have a shelf life? I mean, do they, you know, after 10 years, they're going to need to be replaced, like water heaters or things along those lines?
No. As long as they stay working, we leave them there.
They pretty much go forever.
Yeah, as long as they're not leaking or show signs of lightning has been striking them or damage to them, then they're good. They'll last for a long time.
So I have to ask, since we were talking to your wife about her being at home without power, she mentioned having to turn on the generator. Do you have a checklist? Do you have a whole list of her? Okay, honey, I've got to go to work now, but here's everything that you need to take care of. I mean, are you more prepared or more at the ready because of what you do for a living to make sure she's not going to be in uncomfortable situations when you're gone?
I can kind of tell from the weather forecast about how bad I should expect it to be. So we get different things ready, make sure we have all the necessities that we need before I'm out the door.
So when you're watching a weather forecast, what kinds of things are you looking for? What things, if somebody's listening, should they also be on the lookout for so maybe they can prep a little bit sooner too? I mean, is it the high winds? Is it the ice? Is it falling precipitation? What kinds of things should people be on the lookout for? What do you look for?
The ice and the 40-plus wind is the worst. That's when you're going to see outages.
Have you ever gotten to a scene and thought, I don't even know how that happened? Like there's something all twisted or crazy and you're wondering, wait, how in the world did that even physically make itself happen that way?
One time, one of the guys found a bass on top of a transformer, and that knocked the line out.
Like a fish bass.
A fish bass.
So I bet you get to hear all kinds of stories. I bet he comes home and says, honey, let me tell you what I did today.
Yeah.
Does it worry you, though, when he goes out dealing with electricity? I mean, we talked a minute ago about power outages and things like that. I mean, electricity is the one thing that I've learned since I was a little girl. You don't fool around with it. You don't think you know what you're doing because you probably don't. It's a dangerous job just from the electricity perspective.
It is very dangerous, and I do worry. But like I said, he's pretty cautious, and I feel like he takes the time to understand and learn things. So it helps me not worry as much. But I know it is scary, like even when we're home, we're hearing like the wind blowing and trees crashing everywhere. And I'm just like, well, he's out in that and I'm in the house still afraid. So it's definitely worrisome.
Now, would she get a priority? Say you're out on a call and she's at home and a tree comes crashing down. You, much like even if you drive past the transformer, you still can't leave to come home to fix what's going on there. Or do they give you a little bit of leeway with that?
A little bit. Depends on how bad things are getting. You know, we try to get the biggest outage first, and then we start working down to the singles and then non-outage calls.
Now, you were telling me before we turned the mics on that you were working down in the Culpeper area because they had some storms come through a few days ago that were pretty ugly and you had to go down that way. When you travel that far, do you stay the night? Do you make it in a day trip?
It depends. If they have a lot of outages, then they'll ask us to pack a bag and go down there and stay one or two nights and then come back when it's all done. But
because I would imagine they have their own central point, too, and they have their crews and that sort of thing. So it's got to be a pretty big storm if their people are all busy and they need to start pulling people in from the surrounding areas.
Yeah. Yeah, they get a lot of help. If it's just like one district that's having the most trouble, then we just flood the area with us, contractors, the other offices. We all just roll down there and knock it out.
And you're typically just working on the power end of it. You're working on the transformers, getting the lines back up, doing that sort of thing. You're not really part of the crew that's going out and trimming the trees to keep them from being an issue later. That's a whole different set of contractors and a different department, I would assume.
Yes, it is. And they're a big, big part of preventing outages as well. And they come out and help us if we have, you know, a massive tree on the line and it's still on the phone and it's got it pinned to the ground. They're the chainsaw experts. So we'll call them in. They knock it out way faster than we could ourselves.
So what kind of vehicle? I mean, are you driving one of those big trucks that has the ladder, the bucket on it? And I'm sure there's a technical name for that. Talk to me about some of the equipment that you've got.
Oh, we have big buckets with 55-foot booms. Then we have little buckets, and they have 38-foot booms. And then we have digger derricks, and that's what we use to set our poles with.
Now, do you have the ability to cut the power? I mean, I know power might be out to a house, but that doesn't necessarily mean power is out where you're going to be working on it. Can you do that on site, or does that have to be done somewhere else remotely?
We have various types of equipment. We can de-energize the lines to work on them.
And they say it's a big deal if you're driving through an area that's just been hit by a storm and you see power lines on the ground, to always assume they are live lines and not that just because they're not connected to anything doesn't mean they have no power going through them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You definitely want to call the power company if you see lines hanging on the ground, because they could still be energized. Even if they're not doing anything at that moment, they could lay there hot. Especially, we have stuff called tree wire, AWAC, and it's coated. It's coated in some thick black plastic, and it'll lay on the ground for a long time, and just 7,200 volts laying right there on the ground.
Oh. That's good to know. Yeah. That's good information to have. I had asked you earlier about going to other areas, because we see so much in the news, especially in the last several months, last year or two, about major hurricanes and flooding and things like that that are happening in Texas and in North Carolina and Louisiana and all of these places. You guys actually have an agreement with a lot of the other power companies that if they need help, you'll go there. And you guys have a system in place for who gets to jump in the truck and head to, say, North Carolina.
Yeah, we work with the Virginia, Maryland, Delaware Association, and when a co-op anywhere calls and asks them for help, we're part of that call list that they call and say, hey, we need so many amount of guys to go here, and then we help them out.
Did anybody go to Puerto Rico?
No.
Because that would have been a bit of a stretch, I would guess.
Yeah. But they are doing, through the association, they're sending people to different countries.
Oh, really? Is electricity kind of a universal thing? I mean, it's one of those things, like, once you know how to cut hair, it doesn't really matter the head that you're working on. It's the basic principle is still the same. Is that the same from country to country? I assume it's the same from state to state, at least here in the United States.
It is. It's basically the same. You have a primary conductor carrying the electricity, and then you have to step it down with the transformer to get it to usable voltage for your house.
How different is it coming from Verizon, where you're working on, I would assume, phone lines and things along that nature, versus working as a lineman with a power company? Was it night and day? Were a lot of things still the same? How big was the learning curve for you?
Oh, it was pretty big. There's a lot more stuff you need to know working at the power company than in the telecom industry. It's a lot.
How long were you an apprentice? You said you came on board and were an apprentice. Did you have to do that for a certain period of time, or was it like a testing ground until your, you know, supervisor said, okay, you've got this, you're not an apprentice anymore? Is it like a formal training thing? Did you have to take classes?
Yeah, you do it for 4 years, you'll be an apprentice, and they send you to a lineman school every 6 months for a week over those 4 years.
Well, that sounds kind of cool. Lineman school, they teach you how to climb up and do all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the first class is nothing but climbing. So you just climb up, get used to your hooks and everything, and standing on the pole.
Are you a hunter?
I do.
I'm thinking you're probably a killer tree stand guy. Your tree stand is probably higher than most people's because you don't even feel like you're that far above the ground when you're sitting at normal tree stand height.
Yeah, it's not bad, really. It takes a little getting used to. You know, you're standing on a little spike, and it's only like a quarter inch in the wood, and that's all it's holding you up there.
Have you had any incidents where something has gone wrong and you've fallen, or a power wasn't out when you thought it was and you've had some sort of injury, or have you been, and we'll knock wood, very lucky so far?
I've been pretty fortunate. You see a lot of things happening, but we're normally out of harm's way most of the time. We watch each other's back. It's like it's a brotherhood because you spend almost more time with the guys at work than you do at home.
Yep, I'm looking at Hillary to see if she's going to roll her eyes and think, yeah, he does. Well, and that kind of makes sense. And you hear a lot of companies these days, no matter what they do, what product or service they offer, you know, you hear them say a lot of things like safety first. But I would guess in the industry like Rappahannock Electric, that's not just a slogan. It truly is a way of life because it is a dangerous job.
Oh, absolutely. Safety is number one over anything. So, I mean, they would have no problem doing whatever you asked them to do if it would make it safer for you.
So do you love your job? I mean, is this one of these things that you think you'll be doing when you're 50, 60, maybe not 70? I'm not sure how I'd feel about a 70-year-old lineman climbing up to fix my power. But is it something you enjoy doing?
Oh, absolutely. I enjoy it. And I feel like contributing to the community because electricity is not so much a utility anymore as a necessity. And it's required for everything. And now we're coming out with electric cars, and that's going to be a big demand for energy.
Joyce Bodo is going to come and we're going to have a conversation about electric cars. We were chatting a little bit in doing some pre-show prep, and she was talking about the fact that if you still have to call the power company to let them know if you're getting an electric car because you need the special charging station and the level one charging station, I think it is. And if five people on your cul-de-sac all suddenly go out and get electric cars, it could overload the transformer. So the power company needs to know so you can come out and put in, I guess, would it be a stronger one, or How does all of that work?
Yeah, it would just be a little bigger to handle the amount of load it'd be drawing. So they're doing a lot of research into it to prepare, because we want to be a step ahead. We don't want to be behind when all of it's happening and having a lot of issues. So they're doing a lot of research and checking into everything to see what all we would have to do.
Do you have continuing education? I mean, once you got through your apprenticeship and you knew that you were a full-on, fully certified, do you still have to go back every couple of months or every couple of years and learn something new?
Oh, no, not really. You really learn more out on the job working trouble because you get to see everything going trouble. And then just day-to-day basis, you just stand on the ground and watch the veterans up there doing everything. And then just try to mimic their actions once you get your chance to go up. And
so how many of you are on a crew? You mentioned earlier there were four crews and then there's the service department. How many of you are on a particular crew? And is it the same people all the time? Are you like all together always? Or does it rotate around, this guy's on this crew today and might be on a different crew in a month or 2 months from now?
Well, there's 6 to 7 people on each crew. And then we try to rotate a lot of people around every 6 months, just change it up, get to see different things. So everybody gets to work with everybody. So then you know how somebody works. So you don't have to focus on them. You can do what you got to do because you know what they're going to go do. So it really speeds up the whole process of troubleshooting and repairs.
Well, and I imagine too, it is somewhat of a learning process, because if you get a new guy on a crew who has a different way of doing things that might make more sense or make it a quicker way to get a job done, everybody, like you said, has their own way of doing it. So rotating people in and out sometimes might be a help to you because, oh, I didn't even think about doing it that way. Now we can cut this repair time in half, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. You get a new set of eyes on things, sees it a different way. It definitely can help.
Does your son want to be like dad? Does he want to drive around and get in the bucket trucks and go up? Have you been practicing taking him to like the second floor of a house and making him look down to see if he's going to be afraid of heights when he grows up?
No, I let him. He always checks out the truck when I'm on call. He likes to come out and see it, sit in the cab, check it all out.
Does he have his own tool belt?
Oh, he has a little hard hat there.
So how many times have you been up on a power pole and pull? Are you allowed to take your cell phones with you?
Yeah.
So do you get up there on some of these and think, wow, this is an amazing picture, and take photos and stuff from up there? Look, she's nodding her head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sometimes, you know, you don't see everything from the ground. Then you get 40, 50 feet in the air. It just, you see all these nice views and everything, take pictures.
So he might have a side hustle as a photographer when he's done being a lineman.
Maybe.
Has he ever sent you a picture and you've looked at it and gone, what is he doing?
No, he tries to explain stuff to me. It sort of goes over my head, but I try to listen. Tells me what he's doing, what he's up there fixing. Like
you're ever going to be in a situation to have to use that information.
Right. Like,
yeah, I can normally tell when she's like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, that's a husband-wife thing. My husband is in pest control, and he'll come home and tell me about these situations where he's gone into these houses and what chemical or whatever he's done to remove something from a house. And I'm like, yeah, did you get rid of the bugs? That you could have started with, honey, I went to this house that had this, and I got rid of it. You don't have to give me all of the inside scoop.
Right.
You would probably prefer that he come home and say, hey, we went to a neighborhood today that had 50 houses that were out of power, and it only took us an hour to get them back up. That's all you really want to know, right?
He'll be like, oh, it was a tricky situation. I had to reach over to this arm and do this and do that. I'm just like, okay, and connect this.
Well, and it probably helps you to know less because you won't stress and worry the next time he goes out. Is he going to be in a situation where maybe I should be more worried than I am? There's just something to be said for kind of living in ignorance to a certain degree.
Definitely. I'll be like, oh, this line was, I don't know how many voltage. And I'm just like, oh, well, careful.
Yeah. Just come home. That's all I want you to do is come home. So what's your favorite thing about your job?
Probably that it's something different every day. You never know what you're going to see. It changes every day. You have something new to see and do. And then all the guys are really good guys, so we have a good time.
So do they all come over to the house and hang out on the weekends when the weather's nice and have barbecues and talk about this job or that job and what they had to do? And you're just like, yeah, whatever.
Not too much. We're pretty busy with T-ball right now, so we're really into that.
So is it hard as a family to, because I've always had a situation where my husband has worked like an 8-to-5 job. It's been a regular day job. And he was talking about working 4-10s. Is that difficult to try and plan things around? Do you feel like you're more of a single mom more so than you would be if he had a regular 9-to-5 job?
I mean, it's definitely hard sometimes when we're like trying to plan like family events and then a storm comes, or if we're like going over to like family for holidays, and that's usually around winter, so there's always accidents or the weather's bad, so sometimes it's me going or
Being on call isn't always the greatest from the other side of the fence.
Yes.
So do you have a lot of friends and family that assume you're also an electrician? So they call you up and say, hey, I need to install this ceiling fan, or hey, can you come over and tell me why my lights are flickering? Do you get a lot of people asking you advice about electricity in general?
Yeah, kind of. They normally ask about the lines. Why is it doing this? And I can explain to them. Then they're good.
So you don't have to actually go rewire somebody's house just because they know you work for the power company.
No.
Well, I really want to thank you guys for coming to hang out. This was a fun conversation. When Casey and I were talking about some of the different topics we were going to cover in this podcast series, this was my idea. It was a typical day in the life because I see you guys up there when you're working on things. You know, you hear about power outages and people having to figure out what they're going to do until the power comes back on, but we never really get to know who those people are. I mean, you're kind of a savior in a way because we all think the world's coming to an end. The minute the oven doesn't work and the lights don't come on, we think our world is over, and you guys come riding in and get everything fixed. So it was kind of nice to be able to kind of hear a little bit of behind the scenes and what you go through and think about the other end of that. Because I'm only thinking about my power coming back on. I'm not thinking about your family that's sitting at home potentially without power. And so I this was a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
We are
kind of like the forgotten first responders.
That's what I'm going to name this episode, is the forgotten first responders. But we have been chatting with William and Hillary Wilfong. William is a lineman for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative, and we got a snippet of what a day in the life of him is like. We're going to have more podcast series coming up in the future about a whole wide range of different topics. So we'll hope you'll join us for the next one that'll be coming out next week.